Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 38. Stand with me real quick and just take a moment. I'm going to read 3, 4, 5 verses to you, and then I'll give you some very down-to-earth practical lessons about this thing of hate. The Bible says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, get involved in the teaching of the subject tonight. Help us all to be like Jesus. Help the Bible to be our guide. Help us to behave according to the Scripture. Reach down from heaven and put thoughts in our minds and intentions in our behavior, and help us to be different than the world. Help us to separate from the wrong practices of this emotion called hate, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were listening in the text when I read it, it started out, and in verse 38, the Lord said, "Ye have heard." Now, then he starts talking about in the other verses, and he was talking about hate and things. But notice he said, "Ye have heard," meaning you heard some other human being, meaning others are doing it, meaning you have seen a bad example, honestly. Now, so you all know, folks, the world lives a certain way, but Christians are supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different. So he said, "Ye have heard." And then in verse number 29, he said, "But I say unto you." In other words, Jesus is saying, listen to me, not others. Jesus is saying, follow my example, not the example of others. And then Jesus starts giving instructions, and he is saying, the other people, the way they live, is not how you're supposed to live. That's a part of separation. You and I are Christians, and we're to be different. The way the world handles their emotions is not the way that we're to handle our emotions. And hate is an emotion. And he is saying here, don't you behave the way the world behaves. Don't you hate the way the world hates. Did you know the Bible gives instructions about hating properly? You are to hate the right way. God gave us the emotion of hate, but we are not to misuse it. See, I think hatred is not just the opposite of love. I think it is the absence of love. We are to separate from the wrong use of this thing called hate. Now, the lesson is going to be very simple once again. I'm going to make a lot of applications to this thought of separating ourselves from hate. You might say, preacher, why in the world would you need to preach a sermon about separating from hate? We're all born again Christians. This emotion of hate, it's far more used, and it's abused, and I mean by Christians. So you might not be hating anybody today, but let's be careful not to hate somebody tomorrow or next week. But I would say in a crowd this size, there's probably somebody here right now. There's someone you've got your sight set on, and the emotion of hate is being targeted at them. And we want to find out what the Bible teaches about it. Okay, let me get started. Number one, remember that separation is from something to something. Separation, when you practice separation, it is to go from something to something. We turn away from unrighteousness and we turn to righteousness. We leave bad and then we turn to good. We leave bad words behind because we're separating from them. And then we turn to using good words. We leave bad friendships behind. Then we turn to good friendships. Now, a part of the key to separating regarding hate is we turn from hate and we turn to love. And so if you would like the answer, I'm going to say this now. I'll say it again at the very end of the sermon. If you want to fix your hate problem is a love problem. If you hate, then you don't love. Hatred and love will only coexist perfectly with God. Now, so remember, number one, separation is from something to something. Number two, all hate is not wrong. All hate is not wrong. If you want to turn it to some verses, I certainly will let you, but I probably am using about 20 of them, and I'm going to turn quite quickly. Amos chapter 5, verse number 15, I'll read it to you. Amos chapter 5, verse number 15, the Bible says this, hate the evil and love the good. So, I told you point number two is, all hate is not wrong. Because in Amos 5:15, the Lord said, hate the evil and love the good. Folks, watch out for this liberal philosophy out there that says, there's no place for hate in this world. God said we're supposed to hate the evil. So there is place for hate in this world. Now, Proverbs chapter 6. If you want to turn to it, we're saying all hate is not bad. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, I'll read something to you. There are even religious people out there who would say, if you hate, that's bad. That's sinful. I'm sorry. That can't be true. Because God is perfectly holy. And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says this, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Might I add right there, notice of all those terrible sins, and then he talks about those that sow discord among the brethren. That's gossipy people that can't get along with each other that creates disunity in the church. God hates that. He hates that behavior. But notice, remember, point number two is this, all hate is not bad. God said, hate evil. And these six things doth the Lord hate. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 8, you don't have to turn to it. The Bible says, there is a time to love and a time to hate. So, separation is from something to something, and the ultimate key to your hate problem is that there's an absence of love, but all hate is not bad. Hate is to be scripturally controlled. So, it's okay to hate if it is done according to the Bible. Number three, we should not hate our enemies. We should not hate our enemies. Luke chapter 6, verse number 27, I'm going to read it to you. The Bible says this, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. I think we all know this. Jesus is our ultimate example. Jesus did not hate his enemies. Do you know that if Jesus would have hated his enemies, then he would have sinned? And if he would have sinned, he couldn't have been the perfect sacrifice. And if he wasn't the perfect sacrifice, you would have had no hope for salvation. You better thank God Jesus didn't hate his enemies, because you're going to heaven because he loved his enemies. And I would say this, there are probably people that won't go to heaven because you hate your enemies. You say, why? Because your influence is stifled because of your emotional misbehavior and you reflecting to a lost and dying world that hatred toward a person is good or right. You know, even lost people know you ought not be going around hating people. They know that. But Jesus did not hate his enemies. And we are to separate. If you have hatred in your heart towards your enemies, you should separate from that hatred. He said, what am I supposed to do? Well, he said, love your enemy. Now remember, I said hatred is not just the opposite of love, it is the absence of love. Okay? Now, I believe that when you can love your enemy, it's a proof of Christian maturity. Okay? So we said, number one, separation is from something to something. Number two, all hate is not wrong, but hate is to be scripturally controlled. Number three, God makes it clear and he says, you are not to hate your enemy. Number four, you shouldn't hate the brethren. You should not hate the brethren. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 20 is a verse that I'll use. And the Bible says this, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Huh. Wow, that's powerful. And this, when it's talking about hating your brother, it's not talking about the one that you shared bunk beds with when you were growing up. This is talking about the brethren, meaning the other men in the church, or the sistren. We as Christians are to get along with each other. So the Bible teaches us that we should not hate the brethren. Now, listen, you know, that simply said, you shouldn't hate people in your church. You say, but Pastor, would anyone hate someone in the church? Huh. I've been doing what I do for a long time. Nothing shocks me. I have watched that element of hatred in good, independent, fundamental King James Bible separated Baptist churches. You can just go to marriages and watch husbands that hate their wives and wives that hate their husbands. But I mean in the church. Well, sure. Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be a long-term hatred. Doesn't mean that, you know, Joe's sitting over here and Ralph is sitting over here and they've hated each other for 20 years in the church. It was on Friday you aimed your hatred at another church member because you couldn't control your emotions. And God said, that's wrong. God said, don't you go around telling people you love me but you hate the brethren. He said, you're a liar. That's pretty strong language. I'm going to guess God doesn't like this thing of the misuse of hate. So, don't hate the brethren. Don't hate people in your church. It destroys unity in the church. It will destroy the spirit of a church. It will destroy you. And the person that is most apt to be destroyed because of hatred is the hater, not the object. You say, Pastor, I hate you. Okay. I'm sleeping just fine at night. I've been hated by better people. I will be hated again. But you're the one that's all tense about it. You're the one that's all wound up about it. You're the one that's getting an ulcer about it. Hatred destroys the hater. And let me tell you this also. The misuse of hate in the church, it'll destroy you, the unity. It'll destroy the spirit of the church. But it's really hard on young Christians. That's because young Christians know that in the church there ought to be love and you ought to love your enemies. But when a young Christian sees and in some cases, mature Christians hating other people in the church, it really hurts that young Christian. You know what they think? They think we're all a bunch of fakes. Let me go on. Number five, we are to hate sin, but not the sinner. We are to hate sin, but not the sinner. And for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loves the sinner. And God is our ultimate role model. I could give you 100 verses about hating sin. But I could give you 100 verses about loving people. God hates sin. But God loves a sinner. Hey, and let me take a moment. I want to thank God that God loves sinners. Oh, thank God, God loves sinners. I get to go to heaven because God loves sinners. I get to live a good life because God loves sinners. But you see, we're to hate sin, but not the sinner. Hate drunkenness, but love the drunk. Hate stealing, but love the thief. Hate false doctrine. But love the deceived person. Hate adultery, but love the fallen. And that again is another mark of Christian maturity. We are to hate the sin, but not the sinner. Now, point number six. Don't hate Jesus. Don't hate Jesus. John chapter 7, I'm going to read it to you. In John chapter 7, let's see, verse number 7. In John 7:7, it says this: "The world cannot hate you, but it hateth because I testify of it. The works thereof are evil." Do you know the Bible actually tells? Jesus said, they hate you, but they hated me first. Now, to me, that is an extremely hard thing to understand, why anybody would want to hate Jesus. And if you're a Christian, you've been around church any time at all, it's almost like, what a wasted verse. Why would God ever have to put a verse in the Bible about don't hate Jesus? But I got to tell you, there are people that hate Jesus. They hate Jesus. There are people that are lost and in the world that hate Jesus. And that's what's sad about it is they hate the one that loves them the most. And they can be glad that He loves the sinner and hate sin. May I recommend to you that you never let anything cause you to hate the Lord. You say, why would you say anything like that? You're in the midst of a bunch of people that want to be in church. It's a Wednesday night. Oh, I know. But I have watched people that sat in services just like this go through incidents in life, and somehow the devil gets in it and turns them on Jesus. They find themselves despising Jesus and blaming Jesus. God loves you, and God is good all the time. So I just recommend, according to the Bible, do not hate Jesus. Hate sin. Don't hate the sinner. Do not hate the brethren. Do not hate your enemy. All hate's not wrong. There is a scriptural way to hate. And remember, hate is turning from something to something. And if you want to overcome your hate, you overcome with love. So your problem is, if you hate, there's an absence of love. Now, we go on. I would like you not to hate the man of God. You say, you're talking about you? Sure. If you would include me here, don't hate the man of God. And I actually have here, don't hate the honest man of God. I'm going to read to you from 1 Kings chapter number 22. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse number 8, the Bible says this: "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Well, let not the king say so." You know what's happening here? Ahab hated the man of God. Man, Jehoshaphat said, why? He said, because he preaches the truth about me. In other words, when this preacher got up to preach, Ahab took it real personally. And so he hated the man of God. Now, can I tell you something? If you feel bad when sin is preached on from the pulpit, you think it's possible that the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's getting all over you? Men of God are hated because of the truth for which they stand. And that, you understand, Ahab flat out said it. He said, I hate that guy. He does not prophesy good about me, but evil. In other words, the prophesying, that was the preaching, that was the teaching. And he said, he makes me mad. I'm mad at him, and I hate him. Now, I would throw this in here. There's many, and there's ample teaching in the Scripture. If you hate a man of God, it's a dangerous thing. Very, very dangerous thing. Okay? So, let's go on. Number 7. Do not hate the chastening of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to turn your Bible there real quick, you certainly may. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verse number 5 and 6. Point number 7. Do not hate the chastening of the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6, it says this. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh... I'm sorry. Yeah, that's it. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, let me tell you right off the bat, the word despise there is the same basic word for hate. And so here, it is being recommended that you do not despise the Lord, or despise the chastening of the Lord. What's that talking about? The Bible, God teaches corporal punishment with His children. There are times God will discipline you. God will correct you, if you will. God lovingly will turn you over His ever-loving, never-dying knee and spank you. And that's what chastening is. And here it is recommended that you do not despise or hate that chastening. Now, let me tell you something. If God chastens you, if you do wrong and God chastens you, instead of despising it, you ought to be thrilled. You say, well, why would I want to be thrilled if God is spanking me? Because God only spanks His kids. God chastens, the Bible says, He chastens His own. Look, if I were you and you went down to Walmart, and some kid was running through the store you'd never seen before, and you thought he needed to be corrected, if I were you, I wouldn't grab him and chasten him. It won't be a good move. But God chastens His own kids. That means this. If you do wrong and God spanks you for doing wrong, it might be a good idea for you to say, sure feels good to be a part of the family. Can I tell you something? You're better off letting God chasten you than let the devil get a hold of you. God's, you ever seen a grandparent's paddle? It's a paddle with a pillow on it. God chastens with tender loving kindness. The devil will rip you to shreds. He'll tear you up and he'll take you for everything you're worth and spit you out when he's done with you. So, God said, don't hate my chastening. I'm taking care of you. And let me tell you this also. If your child hates and shows hatred for you when you correct them, you're going to want to figure out how to get that attitude fixed. You say, why? They may learn to hate their Heavenly Father when He corrects them, and that's a bad thing. Okay, let's go on. Number eight. Don't hate the truth or don't hate instruction. Don't hate the truth or don't hate instruction. Psalm chapter 50, verse number 17, the Bible says this, seeing thou hatest instruction and casteth my words behind thee. So here the Bible is talking about someone that hates instruction. If you listen to what it said they were instructed, and the person that was given the instruction, while they were hating being instructed, they cast the words behind them. In other words, they put the instruction words out of sight. I don't want to hear that. You're not going to say that to me. Did you know that Sunday school is a place of instruction? Do you know that Sunday morning church is a place of instruction? Did you know that Sunday night church is a place of instruction? Did you know Wednesday night is a place of instruction? If I were you, I would show up and get instruction and enjoy it. I wouldn't be out of sight when instruction's being given. But here, it is said there are people that hate instruction. And I'm sure there are a bunch of you. You've been around long enough. There are people, you try to instruct them properly, they'll get mad at you. They'll hate you. You know, be careful. If a police officer pulls you over and he tries to give you some instruction, it might be wise that you not take the ticket he gives you and cast it behind you. Grab that ticket, throw it in the back seat, say, you're not going to tell me what to do. You may get to see his back seat. Hating instruction will ruin you. It'll ruin you. So God said, don't hate instruction. God said, don't hate it when I spank you. God said, don't hate the man of God that will tell you the truth. Don't hate Jesus. Hate sin. Don't hate the sinner. Don't hate the brethren. Don't hate your enemy. Hey, hate, not all hate is wrong. And he said, the way you overcome hate is you fill your life with love. Now, we go on. Number nine, don't hate people that live right. Luke chapter 6, verse number 22. Luke 6:22, the Bible says this, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from the company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Here's what's happening. God is saying there are people out there that hate folks who live for Jesus. That's what he just said. He said that somebody is going to hate you because you live for Jesus. Well, I think the thing I'm trying to say to you right now is make sure you're not the one that hates somebody because they live for Jesus. Did you know that if somebody lives at a higher level of Christianity than you do, you ought to admire it and respect it. Don't hate them for it. Don't be angry. This isn't a competition. I'm not competing against you or you me. Our enemy is the devil, and every one of us are striving to live for the Lord Jesus Christ to the best of our ability. But that verse is teaching there are actually people that will hate those that live for Jesus. People will hate you if you live right. People hate the truth. Your truth will convict other people, but you just need to make sure you're not the one that hates somebody that's living right. I have watched, and again, in a very immature way, I've been around teenagers a lot. I'll just warn you, I have watched teenagers that virtually hate other kids in their youth department because those other kids live right. They call them goody two-shoes and tease and mock because they're decent and wholesome and right. I mean, to the point of hatred. And that is very, very wrong. It is wrong to hate someone because they live right. Let me go on. Number 10, do not hate your parents. Do not hate your parents. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 20, the Bible says this, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. The word despise there is almost identical to the word hate. So here it's talking about not hating your mom, not hating your dad. Now, again, you may say, now, Pastor, why in the world in a group like this would you dare say don't hate your parents? I'm appalled at the people I meet that it is obvious they hate one of their parents. There's probably somebody sitting in here right now. You hate your parents. You hate your mom. You hate your dad. They chastened you. So you hate them. They didn't give you what you wanted. So you hate them. You feel like they blew it when they raised you. And you hate them. Well, I'll tell you what I told my adult Sunday school class a week ago. I say you ought to love your mom and dad. Now, it may be that your mom and dad are not everything that they ought to be. It might be that they are... I've met parents that are bad. They do bad things. But you ought to love them. Because you're to love people and hate sin. But what I recommend to you is this, that you need to stop and understand something. If you are a born-again Christian, that means you're going to go to heaven someday. You have heaven as your future. You say, but my dad, he's a drug addict. My mom's a bank robber. She was a prostitute. I don't have any respect for them. And you tell me that I should love them? Let me tell you something. If you're a born again Christian, your mom and your dad gave you exactly what you needed. They gave you life. And because you have life, you then were able to have the second birth, which means you're now going to heaven someday. And if mom and dad had never given you life, you would never have eternal life because you had to have the first birth to get the second birth. And they might not be everything that they're supposed to be, but they gave you the one thing you needed. And you owe them for that. And I think you ought to love them. I don't think you ought to love their sin. But I meet people that despise or hate their parents. And so let me say, it's a wicked sin to hate your father. It's a wicked sin to hate your mother. You love them because of what you are, not on the basis of what they are. If you want to love right, you love because of your character, not because of the object. You say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. God didn't love you because you were special. God loved you because He is special. Amen. That's the way God loves. We got to move on. Number 11, don't hate the poor. Don't hate the poor. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 7, the Bible says this, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? You know, to me, some of the things that I'm saying about hate, they're really far removed from my way of thinking, and I'm a little sad that God has to tell us not to behave this way. But well, if you take a good long look at it, obviously there are people that hate in these different categories, and God wouldn't have put it in the Bible if He didn't think it was necessary. But God says we're not to hate the poor. It's sad to think that somebody could hate the poor. But there are rich people that in their arrogance can virtually develop a hatred for poor people. I mean a hatred. They talk bad about poor people. You know, there are rich people that will sit around and talk bad about and criticize poor people. No, now, I'm sure there are things that poor people ought to do to be better. But I'm sure there are things that rich people ought to do to be better. Yeah. Okay. Wonder if there is an element of laziness. Well, what do I do? Hate laziness, but love people. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Christian maturity is. So we're not to hate the poor. The Bible makes that real clear. Number 11. We're not to hate the elderly. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 22. The Bible says this: "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Now, I could take you to many verses where the Bible talks about when people begin to grow old, they're not to be hated. Youth can be very hateful toward age and their elders. Youth will mock and tease, and I could tell you stories where elderly people are abused by youth. And God says, that's wrong, that's sin. You are not to hate the elderly. And let me tell you something, and you need to hear this. Some of you, if you're not careful, when your parents grow older, and maybe you begin to take care of them, and it becomes inconvenient, and it begins to cost you, and you have to do for them what they did for you when you were a baby, and you begin to get disgusted with it, and it's inconvenient. I've watched children begin to hate their parents because of the inconvenience that the parent comes on the child. And God said, it is wrong for you to hate the elderly. It's a sin to hate the elderly. We've got to go on. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 2 tells us that we're not to hate our bosses. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 2, the Bible says this, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. Now the word despise there, if you remember correctly, it is akin to the word hate. You're not to hate your boss. And I realize I'm giving you a lot of points, and they're very quick, but they are very pointed. And I'm totally convinced that every one of these is important tonight. You're not to hate your boss. I worked in the secular arena long enough to know there were people that I worked with that hated the boss. They despise the boss. That's hard for me to understand, but here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 2, the word master is what our word boss or employer is. People, sadly, will hate their boss. In Owens chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Now, I don't think bosses ought to do things to cause bad feelings between themselves and the employees, but a boss's bad behavior is not justification to hate him or hate her. Hate the sin, love the sinner. We've got to go on. We're not to hate people from other races. John chapter 4, verse number 9. The Bible says this. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know what this is? It's two different races that didn't get along. And it is being said, why are you being kind to me? Your race doesn't like my race. We don't like each other. And I think the Bible is very, very clear that we are not to hate people from other races. You know, all around the United States of America, people sing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. People sing that all the time, then turn around, go right out on the street, and hate somebody that's not like them. And God says that's wrong. Skin color is not a reason to hate. And so, you know, racism is any color mistreating any color. It's not just one color toward another. It's any color of person that mistreats any color of person because of the color of their skin. That's racism. And it's wrong. And it's sin. And the way somebody treated you does not justify you hating them. You say, they did me wrong. Hate wrong, but love the sinner. And this whole concept of hating the sin and loving the sinner will help the New Testament church to grow. There are churches all over our nation that will not grow because they cannot grasp this concept. We're going to go out and reach all the sinners we can. We hate the sin. We love the sinner. We'll teach them to separate from their sin, but we're going to love them while we do it. Let me go on. We are not to hate the sick or the disabled. Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to read to you from verse number 13 and 14. The Bible says this, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me. But Paul said, I had an infirmity. I think Paul had more than one infirmity. I think Paul probably had glaucoma. I think Paul had something that kept him from being able to see right. I think Paul also had epilepsy, and I think it probably deformed him to a degree. And Paul said, I showed up to preach for you, but you did not despise me And I don't know why they would have despised him unless there was an oddity in the way he handled himself, an oddity in his flesh. He said, I had an infirmity, but you did not despise me because of my infirmity. So what Paul was saying is, I had a disability, but you did not hate me for my disability. And the Bible is very clear. You're not supposed to hate disabled people. And again, those of you that have any spiritual common sense at all, you say, Pastor, why would anyone hate somebody that had a disability? You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked at the way people mock and abuse people that are deaf or that are blind or that are in a wheelchair or that are in a walker. Somebody, maybe somebody that mentally they've struggled and their mind did not develop, and maybe a look, something about their face or their body that isn't like yours, but who knows that yours is right. Maybe theirs is what we're all supposed to look like. I don't know, but I will tell you this. The Bible teaches you're not to hate people that struggle with disabilities. If somebody with a disability inconveniences you, the truth is you ought to be patient and kind and wait your way through it and assist them if you can. Don't get angry with people with disabilities. You know, there are people that mock and tease and are hateful toward people with disabilities. I suppose once a year I deal with someone, situations where somebody that's disabled is being abused. Now, last year I dealt with a situation. It broke my heart. It broke my heart. The thought that somebody would be despiteful and virtually hateful toward a disabled person. You say, well, Pastor, how could anybody get to that point? Sin is pretty nasty. And the devil, well, you let him have influence, he'll get you to behave in ways that you never dreamed you would behave. I would recommend that you not take a disabled person's parking spot. The other day, I was pretty close to being in the flesh. I was somewhere, and there was someone that was trying to pull into a disabled parking spot. You could see they had a ramp on their van and everything. And somebody else whipped into that spot, jumped out, and ran in. There wasn't a disabled sticker. I mean, they ran in faster than I could. And a part of me, I thought, I am going to fix this. When you come out, you will qualify for the spot that you just took. We can fix you up and get you a sticker. But I couldn't believe that they would do that. God said, don't you despise or hate the disabled. Hang on. We're almost finished. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to repeat my points. I'm going to make one more application and we'll be done. Separation is from something to something. All hate is not wrong. We're not to hate our enemies. We're not to hate the brethren. We're to hate sin, but not the sinner. We're not to hate Jesus. We're not to hate the man of God. We're not to hate the chastening of the Lord. We're not to hate instruction. We're not to hate people that live right. We shouldn't hate our parents. We shouldn't hate the poor. We should not hate the elderly. We should not hate our boss. We shouldn't hate other races or the disabled. I'm going to tell you the truth about what they call hate speech. Hate speech. You hear it said, there's no place for hate in our society. That is not a true statement. We are to hate sin and love the sinner. We are to hate, but we are to hate properly. Hate's not always bad. Love, by the way, is not always good. You say, what? Well, you're not supposed to love sin. See, hate is not always bad, and love is not always good. Today, the liberals say that if you speak out against something, that it is hate speech. Then they actually want to call it a hate crime. If they speak out against what they oppose, that is their right to freedom of speech. If we speak out against that which we oppose, it's a hate crime. This is a form of manipulation, intimidation, and hatred for the truth. They hope to discredit us in the eyes of others, to make us look like evil hate mongers and turn others against us. They hope to make us feel guilty so we will be quiet about our hatred for wrong, silencing the truth. They want it to become illegal for us to speak the truth of the Bible. They want it to be illegal for us to say that sexual perversion is a sin and that it's bad and it should not be hated. They want the speaking of the truth to be called a hate crime punishable by arrest or jail. So they are confused, and that which is sinful is made to look good, and that which is good is made to look bad, and they want everybody confused about it. They say there's no place for hatred in this world. I'm sorry, God said there is to be hatred in this world. But we're not to hate people. We're to hate sin. For some of you, I can help you not have a nervous breakdown. Hate sin. Don't hate people. I can show you how to salvage relationships. Hate sin. Don't hate people. It'll just chill out your entire life. Do you know something? I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to let you shock me. You know, when people sin, I don't go, oh! You know what I say? Kind of expected that. Then what are you going to do? I'm going to just keep on loving you. Now, I hate sin. I hate what it'll do to you. But I love you. You see, this thing of hate speech and them turning it into a crime, it's the mastermind of the devil and the liberals that would be attached to him. You see, I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 14, verse number 16. And it says this. It says, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of." You know what happens? If you hate sin, they want to make you look like you're bad. If you hate sin, you're good. If you love sin, you're bad. Total flip-flop. But the devil is as slick as snot. He knows what he's doing. And he's got our nation confused. And the media will lead the charge.